America Radio Network News, I'm Darren Copeland. After entering not guilty pleas to all charges filed against her in the M-Clone Systems insider trading scandal, Martha Stewart walked out of a courthouse into a virtual mob scene.
Martha, is there any plea bargain you would accept?
The domestic diva declined to respond to questions yelled to her by reporters as she hustled off to a waiting car. The 61-year-old Stewart entered the not guilty pleas today in federal court in Manhattan. The charges come after a year-long investigation into her sale of nearly 4,000 shares of M-Clone just before the company publicly announced the FDA was rejecting an application for its cancer drug. After touring security measures in Boston Harbor, Homeland Security head Tom Ridge announced today that Massachusetts is getting $31 million for first responders. Ridge noted that a lot of hard work has gone into upgrading security since the September 11th terror attacks.
We've asked a lot from the states, we've asked a lot from the cities and our elected officials. And I think in the past 18 months they've gone the extra mile. They've delivered. And now it's time for us to deliver.
Ridge said some $3.5 billion will be available to the states by the end of the year if Congress approves President Bush's budget in a timely fashion. Massachusetts cities and towns can now apply for federal dollars to train and equip police, firefighters, and EMTs to respond to a terrorist attack.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Meat plants in the United States are being ordered to beef up efforts to battle a potentially deadly bacteria. Under new USDA rules, meat plants are now required to develop a plan to keep listeria out of hot dogs, deli meats, and sausage. The companies then must put their plan to the effectiveness test and share the testing data. The Agricultural Department has come under fire by Democrats and consumer groups for not having tighter regulations in place to prevent last year's series of food recalls because of listeria. One outbreak resulted in 8 deaths, 3 miscarriages, and dozens of illnesses, mainly in the Northeast. Nearly 24 veterans gathered in Derby, Connecticut yesterday to celebrate the unveiling of the U.S. Postal Service Purple Heart stamp. It features a picture of a Purple Heart, which was created in 1782 by General George Washington to recognize American soldiers for their efforts during the Revolutionary War. The medal is given to members of the United States military who have been wounded or killed in action. Postal Governor John Walsh said one of his first goals he set when he was elected was to get the Purple Heart stamp created.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A California marijuana advocate has been ordered to spend 1 day behind bars, a sentence his supporters are hailing as a victory. The San Francisco courtroom erupted in cheers as a federal judge told Ed Rosenthal he had to spend 24 hours in prison and pay a $1,300 fine. Rosenthal, known to supporters as the ganja guru, was convicted of growing marijuana under federal law. However, it is legal under California law as long as the drug is used for medicinal purposes. During his trial, Rosenthal's attorney was not allowed to present evidence that the 58-year-old was cultivating the plant as an officer of Oakland's medicinal program. The judge in the case says he handed down the light sentence due to these highly unusual circumstances. Stocks soared higher today, with the Dow roaring past the 9,000 level. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 116 points to 90.38. The Nasdaq was up 31 to 16.34, and the S&P 500 finished up 14 to 9.86. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us on IE America Radio Network or Sirius Satellite Channel 145 or RadioPower.org or WhiteRoseSociety.org. Any way you are able to pick up the program, welcome. If you'd like to participate live, real time, 800-825-5937. 800-TALK-YES is the number to call. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Now, I know, I know what you're thinking. We should be talking about Michael Pollan's appearance before the Senate Commerce Committee hearing today, where another member of the Powell family lies.
Would you not agree with me that today those who most aggressively celebrate your decision are the biggest economic interests in broadcasting in this country?
I have no idea who's celebrating our decision.
You really don't? Are you kidding me?
Senator Byron Dorgan, Democrat from North Dakota, questioning the newest, most blatant and obvious liar in the Bush crime family, Michael Powell. The question, would you not agree with me that today those who most aggressively celebrate your decision are the biggest economic interests in broadcasting in this country? Powell's answer is so weaselly. It is so weaselly. Why doesn't he just come out and say, look, Senator, yeah, I agree with you. That's probably true. But Powell says, I have no idea who's celebrating our decision. Well, there's about 30 million of us who could help you out there, Michael. And we should be talking about Tom DeLay's plan to derail an attempt to include the families of millions of children in Bush's latest tax cut for the well-off, the families who were coldly eliminated at the last minute, behind closed door, 1 o'clock in the morning, from any tax cut at all, which makes everything that Bush says about this so-called tax cut, this latest one, an absolute lie. But we have come to accept that anything that comes from any member of the Bush crime family will be a lie. And we should be talking about the Republican plan to end time and a half pay for work over 40 hours a week, something that has been embedded in the U.S. labor force in this country for the past 70 years. We should be talking about that, shouldn't we? And we should be talking about Martha Stewart's multiple indictments today, right? But instead, we're going to talk for a while about the astonishing lies and deceptions engineered by the Bush administration to take this nation into war. A war that so far has cost the lives of close to 200 U.S. soldiers and thousands of Iraqi civilians. A war that the criminally responsible Paul Wolfowitz now says was about oil. But first, Newsweek magazine publishes a Polish edition. They publish an edition in Poland. And you have to wonder why Newsweek doesn't publish in its American edition what it published in its Polish edition. After 1942, the U.S. media buried the fact that George Bush's grandpappy, Prescott Bush, traded with the Nazis. It just disappeared down Winston Smith's memory hole. But there was a brief note in the Polish edition of Newsweek this past January. It said, quote, "Bush family profited from slave work by prisoners at the Auschwitz concentration camp. Prescott Sheldon Bush, grandfather of George Walker Bush, had financial dealings during World War II with the Nazis, amassing a family fortune as a banker. Prescott Bush was a shareholder of the company United Banking Corporation, working with industrialist Fritz Thyssen from the Nazi Silesian Consolidated Steel Corporation, where Auschwitz prisoners were forced to perform slave labor." The American press, Polish Newsweek continued, blew the whistle in 1942, and the U.S. government conducted an audit of United Banking Corporation's books. The Roosevelt administration shut down United Banking Corporation's operation under the Trading with the Enemy Act. The company was allowed to continue operations, but with restrictions, namely, no more dealing with Nazis. End quote. Now, that was published in Newsweek in Poland, in their Polish edition, 5 months ago. Why has it not been published in the United States? You want a few minutes to consider the answer to that? Now, according to classified documents from Dutch intelligence and U.S. government archives, Bush's grandfather made considerable profits off of Auschwitz slave labor. In fact, George W. Bush himself is an heir to these profits from the Holocaust, which were placed in a blind trust in 1980 by his father, former President George Herbert Herbert Bush. Now, for some reason, nobody in American media has made the connection between Consolidated Silesian Steel Corporation, Auschwitz, and Prescott Bush. There was a reason why Auschwitz was built where it was built, because the coal deposits in that part of Poland could be processed into either coal or additives for aviation gasoline. A portion of the slave labor force in Poland was managed by Prescott Bush, according to Dutch intelligence. And in 1941, slave labor had become the lifeblood of the Nazi war machine. The resources from Poland's rich steel and coal field played an enormous and essential part in Hitler's invasion of Europe. And the Bush family profited. Dear God, how much more of this has to be revealed before the American public says, we've had enough. Honest to Christ, we've had enough of this family, of this administration. Slave labor, Auschwitz, Bush, slave labor, Auschwitz, Bush. I I wonder if Larry King, maybe in one of his interviews, instead of having Hillary Clinton talking about how she felt when she found out that Bill was having oral sex with his girlfriend, instead of Larry King having one of these religious right-wing freaks, and Larry King is Jewish, why is Larry King sitting there talking to people, as he was, Kathy, last night, tonight, another one of these right-wing, evangelical, neo-Nazi, religious, fundamentalist, Christ-killing Christians sitting there discussing morality in America? Why doesn't Larry King invite somebody from Dutch intelligence, somebody from Newsweek magazine, to discuss the connection between the Bush family, Auschwitz, mass murder, and the Nazi war machine? You'd think that'd be a natural, wouldn't it, for Larry King? Huh? Now, that's all I have to say about that. Yeah, why even sit here and talk about it? It is a fact. It is part of history. It is part of this country's history, Nazi history, and the Bush family history. It is there. It exists. But apparently, American media doesn't care, and if the American media doesn't care, they're not going to report it, and if they don't report it, the American public won't know about it, and if the American public doesn't know about it, it doesn't exist. Now, Iraq. Oh, my God. You talk about things coming unzipped. Do you get the sense that the House of Cards is collapsing? The case against Iraq, as we now know, and it matters not if Douglas Feith, another Jewish Zionist embedded in the Bush crime family, if you're Jewish, please understand what I mean when I say that. I am not in any way slandering or attacking Judaism. If you're Jewish, you understand perfectly what I'm saying. These people are embedded in the Bush crime family and leading U.S. foreign policy. You can make a case, as I have for 30 years, 40 years, for the existence of the State of Israel. On the other hand, when the foreign policy of the single superpower on the planet is, where it concerns the Middle East, dictated by a group of people whose objectives and goals are not in the best interests of the United States, doesn't it bear some conversation? The case against Iraq was based largely on assumptions rather than hard evidence. Newsweek magazine just reported this in its edition that most people got in their mailboxes Monday. Newsweek has to cite unnamed administration and intelligence officials. Nobody wants to go on the record. An unnamed Army intelligence officer blamed Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld, the officer, told Time magazine, was deeply, almost pathologically distorting the intelligence. Listen to that sentence. Donald Rumsfeld was deeply, almost pathologically distorting the intelligence. Intelligence upon which the United States sent 250,000 soldiers to war. God knows how many thousands of Iraqis are dead. We know that the death toll of Americans is approaching 200 at this point, and it was all based on lies. Is this not an outrage?
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. The lies and the distortions. It's astonishing that this regime is still in power. On the one hand, I'm talking about the Bush regime. On the other hand, not really, because they do control both houses of Congress, the judiciary, and media in this country. So that pretty much precludes the possibility of impeachment hearings being put together or a bill of impeachment being introduced in the House, although any Democrat could do it. Now, Colin Powell We're talking here about the lies and the distortions. Colin Powell apparently was put under pressure by the psychopaths in the Defense Department, led by Rumsfeld, to use shaky intelligence where concerned Iraq. U.S. News and World Report magazine said that the first draft of the speech that was prepared for Powell to give at the United Nations was prepared by Dick Cheney's chief of staff, Louis Libby, in late January. According to the report, the draft contained such questionable material that Powell lost his temper, throwing several pages in the air and declaring, "I'm not reading this. This is bullshit." Well, you finish it. Now, in addition to the weapons of mass destruction that obviously do not exist any longer, Cheney's aides wanted Powell to include in his presentation information that Iraq had purchased computer software that would allow it to plan an attack on the United States. Iraq, a country with no navy, no air force, no army, no marine corps, nothing. But Cheney's thugs wanted Powell to sit in the United Nations and say, well, in addition to all this other stuff, guess what? Iraq has purchased computer software that would allow it to plan an attack on the United States. Now, this allegation, according to U.S. News and World Report, was another allegation that when the CIA heard about it, they just slapped their foreheads and went, Jesus, where is this stuff coming from? It's coming from Cheney. The White House, that would be Cheney, also pressed Colin Powell to include charges that the suspected leader of the September 11th hijackers, Mohammed Atta, had met in Prague, Czechoslovakia, with an Iraqi intelligence officer prior to the attacks, yada, 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 even though U.S. and European and Israeli intelligence agencies said the meeting never occurred. But it doesn't make any difference. Now, according to the French news agency, the pressure put on Powell forced him to appoint his own review team to look at the stuff that was being handed to him by Cheney and Rumsfeld. A team that met several times with CIA Director George Tenet and Condoleezza Rice. Now, they all worked together to prepare this speech that Powell gave at the United Nations. And even though Powell had signed on, given his soul over to Satan, there were even some things that Powell couldn't do. So Powell went before the UN and accused Iraq of hiding tons of biological and chemical weapons. U.S. News and World Report also said that the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA, had issued a classified assessment of Iraq's chemical weapons program last September, saying, quote, there is no reliable information on Iraq producing and or stockpiling chemical weapons, end quote. But then Rumsfeld told Congress right after that that the Iraqi regime, quote, has amassed large clandestine stockpiles of chemical weapons. Do you see how serious this is?
Strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Members of the Graphics Communications International Union and Unite came together for a joint rally outside a convention at the Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco yesterday. Inside, the world's largest commercial printer, Quebecor World, was presenting an award to Cintas, a Cincinnati-based laundry and uniform company.
Quebecor says that everybody in America touches a Quebecor product once a day. We think it's time that in America, here's how Quebecor is treating workers.
Jennifer Love of the AFL-CIO says that Quebecor World often refuses to bargain with its unions.
This is a great moment when one anti-union company is rewarding another. Quebecor World is sponsoring a luncheon at the annual catalog conference, which is honoring catalogs, one of which is produced by Cintas Corporation.
With its 17,000 production workers at more than 300 plants, Cintas is the largest provider of uniform rentals in the nation. And according to Leah Rothstein of United in Northern California, it's also among the most anti-worker.
They spend tons of money fighting unions. They hire consultants. They intimidate. They fire. They threaten their workers to stop them from unionizing.
Both unions say they'll keep up the pressure until both companies change their ways.
British resistance to a proposed European Union Charter of Labor Rights is gaining strength. The Confederation of British Industry, one of the country's largest business lobbies, says a provision in the charter requires that all temporary workers be afforded the same pay and benefits after 6 weeks on a job. Speaking for its members, who employ more than 6 million British workers, the CBI says such a right would lead to hiring freezes and job cuts, as it would take the value out of short-term employment. Last week, the British government announced it would block the implementation of an EU Bill of Labor Rights if the rights of workers to organize and strike were not deleted from the charter.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Big concerns early on was the southern oil fields, and at least in the south they are secure, and that is positive news for all of us.
27 before the hour. Now, making a war crimes laden situation even worse, transcripts of a private conversation between British Foreign Minister Jack Straw and U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell. Transcript expressing serious doubts about the reliability of so-called intelligence on Iraq's banned weapons program. These transcripts now are being circulated in Western government circles, where there's a growing feeling that officials were deceived into supporting the Iraq attack. According to the Guardian of London, a document known as the Waldorf Transcripts, it's named after the New York Hotel where the U.S. Secretary of State was staying before making that crucial speech to the U.N. Security Council. The document known as the Waldorf Transcripts is described by an official of one NATO country as, quote, extremely useful, end quote. Now, Jack Straw, for his part, denied over the weekend that he had a private meeting with Powell on February 4th, the eve of the Security Council meeting where Powell gave that dramatic presentation of intelligence material purporting to reveal hard evidence that Iraq possessed chemical and biological weapons. Jack Straw, the British Foreign Secretary, said he didn't arrive in New York until the day of the crucial Security Council meeting. So he wasn't there on February 3rd. He was there on February 4th. Diplomatic sources, however, remain adamant that Mr. Straw did have a private conversation with Powell in which both men expressed their concerns about the quality of the intelligence they had been given and how it was being used to build the case for war against Iraq. What we're talking about here, Truth Seeker, is acts of treason against the United States. Now, we impeached a president, didn't we, for lying about sex, for Christ's sake? What are we going to do about Bush, who lied about war? And because of those lies, almost 200 Americans are dead. More are dying as we speak. American soldiers, 7,000 to 10,000 Iraqi civilians, dead. What are we going to do? The Guardian of London reported how a meeting between the two men, Jack Straw and Colin Powell, took place at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York shortly before that Security Council meeting. However, over the weekend, Jack Straw's office insisted no such meeting took place. Now, on Sunday just past, Jack Straw was asked on the BBC's Breakfast with Frost program, if there was, quote, any truth to this, did you, Mr. Foreign Secretary, in January or February, have any conversation with the U.S. Secretary of State where you shared your doubts about the strength or probability of the evidence for the claims you were both making about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction? Did you have any such conversation? And Jack Straw replied, let me deal with that. No, I didn't, about the quality of the evidence. What is the case is that I've always been very anxious to test the evidence, and so I know was Mr. Powell and Mr. Bush and our Prime Minister Tony Blair. Now, what does that mean? That means Jack Straw is a liar. It means George Bush is a liar. Colin Powell is a liar. Rumsfeld's a liar. Louis Libby's a liar. Cheney's a liar. Wolfowitz is probably the only one in this whole gang of bandits that's telling the truth. And we'll get to Wolfowitz's truth-telling in a moment. Now, the Waldorf transcripts being distributed among NATO capitals tonight, even as we speak, raises questions about Jack Straw's denials, about Colin Powell's lies, about Bush's lies, about Tony Blair's lies. The transcripts are being circulated amid this flurry of leaks here in Washington, here in the United States, about Powell's concerns about how intelligence was being used to try to persuade reluctant NATO allies, can you say France, can you say Germany, to agree to the attack on Iraq.
Well, we're not going to call them French fries anymore because those damn French, they won't get on board. We'll call them freedom fries. Ray McGovern is a former CIA agent. He had a comment about the supposed little mini intelligence cell that the Department of Defense created to justify attacking Iraq based on the lies. You see, the CIA and the DIA and all the United States intelligence agencies were saying, look, guys, there's nothing there. So Rumsfeld had a better idea. Ray McGovern, former CIA agent.
When Rumsfeld couldn't get the answers that he wanted from the Central Intelligence Agency, he created his own mini CIA in the bowels of the Pentagon.
Ah, he created his own mini CIA in the bowels of the Pentagon. And that little cell of terrorists, isn't that what they are? That cell of global terrorists, Americans, everyone,
decided that the lives of U.S. soldiers and Iraqi civilians weren't worth the powder to blow them to hell. They were going to get those oil fields. They were going to invade Iraq. It didn't make any difference what the establishment intelligence agencies were saying. Rumsfeld decided to create his own. Douglas Feith, Undersecretary of Defense. Today's Department of Defense briefing. The audio of which is curiously missing from the Department of Defense website. So much of the sound that we bring you, Truth Seekers, comes from government websites where they place the audio of any member of the Department of Defense who appeared before intelligence committees, government committees, Senate committees, the media. This is missing. This we had to get from CNN. On the charge that the Department of Defense created a mini CIA to dig up fake intelligence on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, Douglas Feith, Undersecretary of Defense, and another one of these Zionists, the Jewish Zionists, there are Christian Zionists embedded in this filthy Bush administration. Feith happens to be one of the Jewish Zionists. Here's his answer.
See, this suggestion that we said to them, this is what we're looking for, go find it, is precisely the inaccuracy that we are here to rebut.
It's not an inaccuracy, Mr. Feith. It is the truth. You are the liar. You are the liar. You should be charged with what? Treason? Misusing the U.S. military? Should you be charged in an international war crimes tribunal? The former civilian head of the army, Thomas White, the Enron criminal, said 2 days ago that it's time for the Pentagon to admit that the military is in for a long occupation of Iraq that will require a major commitment of American troops. Do you have family members who are 18, 19, 20, 21 who are thinking about joining the military? This is where they're going to go. They're going to go to Iraq. Thomas White said in an interview, according to USA Today, that senior defense officials, that would be Wolfowitz, that would be Rumsfeld, are unwilling to come to grips with the scale of the post-war U.S. obligation in Iraq. Now, we have right now about 150,000 troops in Iraq. We recently announced, I shouldn't say we, the psychopathic Rumsfeld recently announced that the Army's 3rd Infantry Division's stay there has been extended indefinitely. All those soldiers that are based down here in Fort Stewart and Fort Benning, here in Georgia, who thought they were going to come home and see their families? Too bad. We need you there to protect the oil fields. Disgraced Army Secretary, former Army Secretary Thomas White, an Enron criminal, said, quote, "This is not what they were selling before the war." It's almost a question, White said, of people not wanting to fess up to the notion that we will be there a long, long time, and they might have to set up a rotation and sustain it for the long term. A rotation, you know what that means. 6 months in, then send them home, bring in a new group. 6 months in, send them home, bring in a new group. 6 months in, send them home, bring them a new group. Of course, the ones that come back are never equal to the ones that went over, because the attrition rate, when you have an occupying army, does exist. How many American soldiers have been shot to death since Bush landed on the aircraft carrier with the banner that said, mission accomplished? How many? 20? 30? Now remember, Enron criminal and disgraced Army Secretary Thomas White left the Pentagon in May after a series of public feuds with Rumsfeld. He got fired. Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz criticized not just White, but the Army's Chief of Staff, General Eric Shinseki, after Shinseki told Congress back in February that the occupation would require, quote, several hundred thousand troops. Wolfowitz at the time called Shinseki's estimate wildly off the mark. Well, guess what? It's wildly on the mark. The lies, the deceptions, the distortions. And now we have Wolfowitz. This is the way the Guardian of London reports it. Oil was the main reason for military action against Iraq, a leading White House hawk has claimed, confirming the worst fears of those opposed to the U.S.-led war. The U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz, who has already undermined Tony Blair's position over weapons of mass destruction by describing them as a bureaucratic excuse for war, Wolfowitz has now gone further by claiming the real motive was that Iraq is, quote, swimming in oil, end quote. The latest comments were made by Wolfowitz in an address to delegates at an Asian security summit in Singapore this past weekend and reported only today by two German newspapers. He was asked why a nuclear power such as North Korea was being treated differently from Iraq, where hardly any weapons of mass destruction had been found. The deputy defense minister, Wolfowitz, said, quote, let's look at it simply. The most important difference between North Korea and Iraq is that economically we had just no choice in Iraq. The country swims on a sea of oil. End quote. Now, this latest comment by Wolfowitz follows his widely reported statements from an interview in Vanity Fair a couple of weeks ago, in which he said that, quote, for reasons that have a lot to do with U.S. government bureaucracy, we settled on the one issue that everyone could agree on, weapons of mass destruction, end quote. Now, in a just world, in a real world, this murderous thug Paul Wolfowitz's statement about the importance of oil couldn't come at a worse time for the United States and the United Kingdom and their governments. Both are facing criticism at home, although in London they are ready to fry Tony Blair's ass, whereas in this country, John Warner of the Senate Armed Services Committee has decided to call hearings to investigate this intelligence failure to get all the facts out, which means just the opposite. The Republican-controlled Senate will hold a phony investigation, hearing, whatever you want to call it, wherein the facts will be destroyed. The Brits, there's a good chance the Brits are going to get rid of Tony Blair. So here we are. Paul Wolfowitz, who can't, obviously, this guy is really sick. This jug-eared freak is really sick. He can't keep his evilness to himself. He has to brag. He has to go to Europe and brag. He has to go to Asia and brag. Hey, guess what? There were no weapons of mass destruction. We knew it. We knew it. But, you know, we had to have something to motivate the American sheeple, and we still have them motivated. Hell, 70% of them still think that we've already found the weapons of mass destruction. Ha, 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 ha. The real reason, of course, was the oil. What the hell's wrong with you people? Of course it was the oil. What'd you think it was? Freedom? Democracy? I don't know. I don't know what else to add. I really don't. We've got a break coming up here. There's other things we should be talking about. But the fact remains, true seeker, the government of the United States lied to you, to me, to the world. They committed our military. They sent our soldiers. They committed murder. They also set up 200 of our soldiers to die. Your appetite for destruction can't be. Quick break. We'll be right back.
When all your heroes have abandoned you, or have you abandoned them? From civilians to enemies, bombs can't discern. They just destroy all in their path. Will we ever learn? How many Iraqis per gallon on this endless killing spree?
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
Class to build so you can drive your kids to soccer practice in your SUV.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now. 1-800-823-0157.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this. And
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really? You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Got the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. So, whatreallyhappened.com, Bob in Houston, Texas sent this to me, pretty much sums it up. I'm going to share a little bit with of this with you, and then we're going to go to a break when we come back. Let's get some phone calls in here. 800-TALK-YES is the number. It cannot be denied anymore. The government lied to you to start a war of conquest. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Bush, Powell, the rest of them knew going in there were no weapons of mass destruction. Powell knew he was lying to the United Nations. Blair has been outed for ordering rewrites of the dossier to help Bush with the lie. All those who questioned the lie were right to do so. Chrétien was right. Schroeder was right. Chirac was right. Blix was right. Michael Douglas was right. Michael Moore was right. Tim Robbins was right. Susan Sarandon was right. Sean Penn was right. Bob Graham was right. Cynthia McKinney was right. Jeff Renzi was right. Justin Raimondo was right. I was right. And the millions of activists that march in the streets around the world were right. There was valid reason to doubt. Those who believed the lie and promoted it, they were all wrong to the point of complicity. Blair was wrong. Rush Limbaugh was wrong. O'Reilly, who recently stated that anyone who did not agree with him was an idiot. O'Reilly was wrong and an idiot. Clear Channel was wrong. ABC was wrong. NBC was wrong. CBS was wrong. Fox was wrong. CNN was wrong. The dozen pro-war activists who made certain they stood between the press cameras and the anti-war activists, they were wrong. And all of those who reviled, smeared, and attacked those who have in hindsight been proven to be right were wrong. If you believe the lie about the weapons of mass destruction, then congratulations, you have been made a total fool before the eyes of the rest of the world. Forget the old Polish jokes. The new fashion rage will be dumb American jokes, like the dumb Americans who actually did tape up their houses with sheet plastic and duct tape and nearly suffocated to death, or the dumb Americans who actually believed Iraq still had a credible military after more than a decade of crippling sanctions. They lied to us. They lied to us. Now, just to hammer this point home, tomorrow night, we hope to bring you an audio montage Kathy's creating of the administration's lies about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. We'll have Bush, Rummy, Ari, Condi, Powell, all lying through their teeth about the danger posed by Iraq's evil weapons. So don't miss it. Quick break here. We'll be back. Hey, give us a call, 800-825-5937.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. After entering not guilty pleas to all charges filed against her in the M-Clone Systems insider trading scandal, Martha Stewart walked out of a courthouse into a virtual mob scene.
Martha, is there any plea bargain you would accept?
The domestic diva declined to respond to questions yelled to her by reporters as she hustled off to a waiting car. The 61-year-old Stewart entered the not guilty pleas today in federal court in Manhattan. The charges come after a year-long investigation into her sale of nearly 4,000 shares of M-Clone just before the company publicly announced the FDA was rejecting an application for its cancer drug. The price of oil is going down as U.S. fuel inventories increase. The supply of U.S. crude jumped almost 3 million barrels in the last week of May, dropping light crude futures 52 cents to $30.15 a barrel. The supply increase comes just in time for the increased demand typically caused by warmer weather and vacation planning. Even with the extra crude, U.S. inventories are less than what they were a year ago due to interruptions in oil production in Venezuela, Nigeria, and Iraq. A representative of an OPEC member nation indicated production rates shouldn't be cut anytime soon. The Indonesian energy minister said as long as the price of oil stays above $22 a barrel, OPEC won't bring quotas to bear. The first tankers of Iraqi oil are expected to head to sea in the middle of this month.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
The leaders of two militant groups labeled as terrorists by the U.S. held face-to-face talks in Beirut on the eve of today's historic peace summit in Jordan. Lebanon's Hezbollah group and the Palestinian militant group Hamas say they held a consultation to exchange views on what they call the political situation in the Mideast. Both groups oppose the U.S.-backed roadmap to peace, which was the subject of today's trilateral summit between President Bush and the Israeli and Palestinian prime ministers. Hamas and Hezbollah label the peace moves as a sellout of the Palestinian cause. A Cook County, Illinois judge has denied singer R. Kelly permission to travel to Los Angeles next month to shoot a music video. Kelly needed to seek a judge's permission to travel outside Chicago since he was indicted last year on child pornography charges. In making the ruling, the judge said Kelly could easily stay in Chicago to shoot the video. He did, however, grant the singer permission to travel to an awards ceremony and a charity basketball game next month. Kelly faces 21 counts of child pornography stemming from a tape that allegedly shows him having sex with an underage girl.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Philadelphia Mayor John Street says he wants what's best for the convention center. He's not sure a deal brokered by the State House Majority Leader John Purzell is the right thing to do. He says the aim is to make an agreement to bring businesses back into the facility.
And if those amendments get the customers back, then we should be for them. If those amendments do not get the customers back, and if the contractors say they don't work, and if the e-consult groups say they don't work, then we shouldn't be doing them.
The mayor says making a deal just to make the Carpenters Union happy isn't good enough. He says the goal is to make sure the convention center will be able to draw meetings with a fair union rate structure. Stocks were up today as the Dow roared past the 9,000 level. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 116 points to 90.38. The NASDAQ jumped 31 points to 16.34. The S&P 500 finished up 14 points to 9.86. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, Truth Seekers. 7 past the hour. So we're kind of left with a question, aren't we? What to do about all the lying? Just got an email from Ted. He says, it's time to give the scandal a name. I vote for Weaponsgate. Yeah, since Watergate, we've had this weird thing. I can't think tonight. In this country of adding the suffix gate to these little scandals. File gate during the Clinton years. What else was there? Whitewater gate. Travel gate. Think of the scandals, the so-called scandals, during the Clinton years. Is it not a joke? Is it not just hysterically curtain-rending, knee-slapping, wall-climbing, hysterical, to think that during the Clinton years, those were considered to be scandals? Here we have an illegal regime in this country who has taken the nation into war, who has destabilized the entire world. Somebody else sent me an email, said on NBC Nightly News tonight, Brokaw didn't even mention Wolfowitz's statement to the Asian, wherever the hell he was. Yeah, it was about oil. You know, a rock swims on an ocean of oil. Sure, that's why we're there. Not a sound, not a word. So what are we going to do about it? Frankly, probably nothing. Not a thing. This will submerge As we begin the build-up to attack Iran, as the situation with Korea starts to spiral out of control, the newest thing is that Rumsfeld is ordering the withdrawal, strategic withdrawal of 37,000 U.S. troops. Those are all the troops we have in South Korea, away from the DMZ there, away from the 38th parallel, moving them further into the country in preparation for a preemptive strike against North Korea. The North Koreans have made it very clear. You attack us, and Seoul, South Korea, will become a sea of fire. How big is Seoul, South Korea? 5 million, 6 million, 8 million, 10 million people? This is the extent to which the Bush crime family is sinking the entire world into chaos. But what are we going to do about the lies? Anything? No, probably nothing. The Senate Armed Services Committee, John Warner's little group of Republicans and his Republican lights, the so-called Democrats who sit on the committee. Warner says we're going to have a hearing now. We're going to find out what really happened. Yeah, in a pig's ass, we're going to find out what really happened. Just like the 911 Commission, huh? Yeah, right, okay. But doesn't that leave us, American citizens, patriots, Democrats, progressives, human beings, doesn't that leave us in kind of a weird, weird position? Huh? What do we do now? What do we do? Wolfowitz, in the past a few days, has admitted everything was a fabrication. Everything. Everything. The British government is, not the British government, but the British press is tearing Tony Blair a new body orifice because, you know, this is Blair's payoff, right? This is what Blair gets for hanging out and sharing toothpaste with George Bush. But what are you and I going to do? Do you have any suggestions? I'm serious. I'm as serious as a heart attack. Do you have any suggestions of what we do? Some people are going to say, look, you know, that's just the way it goes. Forget about it. Get on with your life. And that's probably the best advice. Huh? What do you say? We're at 800 Talk, yes. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Okay. I was just trying to figure out what these people have got up their sleeves. I mean,
in talking
of which, admitting.
We talked about this the other night, Joe. These are the kinds of people that, when they pull these stunts, deceive everybody, be responsible for 8,000-10,000 deaths. They can't keep it. They got to brag on it. They got to say, hey, all right, guess what? It was me. I'm the one that did it.
Well, what about how come that they didn't plant weapons of mass destruction over? I know they can.
Too many eyes watching now. Too many, even in the U.S. military. There are too many soldiers who would see something like that and maybe send a letter home or call somebody up in the news media back home and say, guess what? Guess what detail I was on yesterday afternoon? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, from my point of view, the people I've been around, I told you I went to a family reunion last.
Yeah, and you almost got into a fist fight.
Yeah, I almost got into a fight. The morons, I mean, it wouldn't matter if they reported that on the NBC News. They wouldn't believe it. They would think it was liberal media.
Really? Well, Wolfowitz is not a liberal. Wolfowitz is saying, hey, it was there were no weapons. We just use weapons of mass destruction as a reason to get everybody on board. And, hey, the reason we went after Iraq is because of the oil. That's not a liberal, Joe. You mean your relatives won't listen to Wolfowitz himself?
They wouldn't listen to anything.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this guy come up with first it was about the war on Iraq, and I said, no, the war's not over.
Right.
Yeah, and we got into a little about that, and then he said, well, I studied the Koran, and they hate Americans, and they're going to kill us all.
It says in the Koran they hate Americans.
Huh? Yeah, and I said, I don't buy that, you know.
Did you point out that the Koran was written before America, at least the America that you and I know, even, oh, well, never mind.
Well, anyway, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy was crazy. I mean, he had I mean, was he from Texas? I mean, he had the Wild West. He was talking about the Texas Rangers going in and cleaning out town.
Yeah.
What you need to do over there is go over and kill all them clerics and stuff. That'd settle them down, you know.
I'd like to go to a family reunion. I bet it's a real knee slapper to sit around with some of Joe's relatives, right, Joe?
They used to be Democrats. I don't know what happened to them.
Well, they got religion, I reckon.
I guess it did.
Well, Joe, I hope that answered it for you. I don't think it's a matter of confession where it concerns crimes.
I reckon they're trying to put Tony Blair out.
Oh, I think Tony Blair is toast. If we lived in a just society over here, George Bush and his gang would be out of office too. But we don't live, we don't live in a just society. We live in the United States of America, 2003 under the Bush crime family, and I guess we're just going to have to deal with it. Joe, thanks a lot, man. Keep your powder dry. All right. Talk to you later. Thanks for checking in, Joe. Dina is calling from Middletown, Connecticut. Hey, Dina.
Hi.
Is this your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome to the program.
Well, it's a strange thing because I used to listen to a program called For the People.
Uh-huh.
And you guys had the same telephone number exactly, but...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the reason that I called...
Oh, that was that right-wing Chuck Carter, I think.
It was.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, they used to... He and his gang used to own this network until the UAW bought it from them. But and I guess we just kept the phone number. That was before my time with his network, but that's the way I understand it came down.
Uh-huh. The reason that I'm calling you is I agree with everything you say, but I don't understand the one piece of the puzzle I don't have is what's Tony Blair getting out of all of this? Why is he hanging in with us? Why didn't he bail a long time ago?
They don't produce oil in the United Kingdom. They do in the North Sea, and there are British oil companies, but that control that. But that is the reserves in the North Sea are not that plentiful. I think what Tony Blair saw was a chance to, first of all, provide the United Kingdom with a steady supply of energy into the foreseeable future, even though, in fact, it belonged to somebody else. And secondly, I do believe there is something about in the British mind about reestablishing empire. There's something in the American mind about establishing empire. And, the Brits are, there are cousins. There are aunts and uncles. That's who white people, for the most part, in this country, come from. I know a lot of Germans, Irish, I understand all that. But the Brits are the ones that we rebelled against. We used to be a British colony.
Mm-hmm.
The Caucasians in this society. So there's a tight connection between the U.S. and the U.K.
Well, I think what we all ought to do is reorganize the Constitution if we can get people with enough energy so that when it comes time to vote, we have a little clause that says none of the above.
Yeah, right.
so that we'd make them go do it all over again. That's after we shoot all the people that are now in Congress.
Shoot. Okay.
Yes.
Would you give them a trial?
Well, yeah, I would kind of, but the evidence is overwhelming. NAFTA, GATT,
yeah.
Right? So I think we should just save our energy and
just
line them up and shoot them.
Oh, my God. Well, the other thing to do is to get to work. All of us get to work real hard for some real Democrats, whether it's in Congress or the executive branch, and see if we can save our republic short of open revolution or violence. What do you think?
Clause that says none of the above.
I hear that. Dina, I'm glad you called. Glad you found the program. I hope you're going to call again.
I will.
All right. You take care. Appreciate you checking in. Mike is calling from Mountain Park, Georgia. Hey, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Hey, I was frustrated from the beginning when they nominated or selected Dick Cheney to mm-hmm. be vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Although I can't find it in the Constitution, my understanding is through subsequent lawsuits was that the president and vice president cannot be from the same state.
Well, they just lied their way out of that,
right,
and said that Cheney actually lived in Wyoming.
Right. And he zoomed up there, woke up some right, election official in the middle of the night and got his voter registration card, even
right,
though he hadn't voted in years,
right,
ever.
Right.
And he had a Texas driver's license. He had his, on the web one time, his address in Dallas was printed,
uh-huh,
and he had homestead exemption in Dallas and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
hey, let me put you on hold a second, Mike. Okay, we got to do a break and we'll come right back to you.
Yeah, right.
All right. Okay, stay with us. We're at 800 Talk Yes. I'm Mike Malloy.
We are redefining war on our terms.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
I have to whisper this to you because it's a secret the Bushites want to keep from you. They have become totally obsessed with secrecy and are spending billions of our tax dollars in an anti-democratic lockdown to keep public information from, well, us, the taxpaying public. I'm not talking about deep, dark spy stuff affecting national security. I'm talking about everyday materials on what various Bush officials are doing that affect our jobs, liberties, clean air and water, food, and other basics. The Bushites are slap-happy about secrecy, slapping top secret on any and every document that might reveal what they're doing to us and who benefits from their backroom, closed-door actions. Even before the September 11 terrorist attacks gave them a political excuse for shutting out We the People, Bush and company were removing more than 33 million public documents from public scrutiny, nearly a 50% increase over the previous year. They spent about $5 billion classifying, storing, and guarding documents, a 40% increase over the Clinton years. This autocratic penchant for executive secrecy is so un-American that it has alarmed many conservative Republicans. Representative Porter Goss, for example, thinks it's ridiculous. Head of the House Intelligence Committee, Goss says, "I read report after report after report all day, and they've got some type of secret classification cover on it. I'll say, what's classified about that?" Senator Richard Shelby, an Alabama Republican, thinks that the rush to secrecy is not merely ridiculous, but dangerous. A lot of the documents are classified for the wrong reason, because they're embarrassing or perhaps because of a cover-up, he says. This is Jim Hightower saying, conservative or liberal, we can't let executive power hide behind a secrecy stamp. To battle the stamp of autocracy, call the Federation of American Scientists, 202-546-3300.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. We're talking with Mike, who's calling from Mountain Park, Georgia, about the lies of Dick Cheney from the very beginning.
Well, another instance was Lynn Cheney was on pushing a book, and she said that she mentioned she'd been on the Texas Literacy Council.
Right.
Well, Lynn, if you're from Wyoming, why are you on the Texas Literacy Council?
Right. Well, as we look back now, I think we can see that these people, I've never met a collection of liars like the Republican Party leadership, and a collection of enablers, people who allow them to lie and get away with it, like registered Republicans. If I were a Republican, I would open a vein. I'd switch parties. I would form a new party called, I don't know, something, the True Republican Party or something. But Republicans don't care about lies, only if it's about sex. If it's about sex, that's enough to bring down the damn government. But if it's about murder, death, destruction, invasion, 200,000 American troops mobilized and sent halfway around the world, that's okay. That's okay if it's based on a lie.
Well, the good thing about Cheney is, as Maureen Dowd called him, he is the adult supervisor.
And he's not doing a very damn good job of it,
well,
is he?
He kind of lost out there.
Didn't
By the way, your listeners need to watch the C-SPAN replay of Al Franken.
Oh, yeah. That's his Sunday?
I believe it's Sunday. I don't know exactly what time, but laying into O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but evidently a couple of accounts have been absolutely wonderful.
I want to see that, too.
Mike, thanks for all you do.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you checking in. We were trying to think of a name. Not really trying to think of a name. Who cares? But this idea of adding the suffix gate to scandals in this country. Michael emailed in, and he said, call it what it is, Murdergate. Yeah, I'd go for that, Murdergate. But here we are. The question just hangs in the air in front of me all the time. I don't know. Maybe I'm obsessing on this. Maybe I should just say to hell with it. As whatreallyhappened.com essay there said, the real question now is what to do about the lie. I'm sure that any parent will tell you that if you catch your child lying and don't punish him, they'll simply lie and lie again. The same holds true for the government. But this government lies because they know they can get away with it. And this will not change until the people of this nation make the cost of a lie outweigh its advantages. And that means that real Americans, by which I mean thinking citizens and not those useful idiots standing on street corners waving flags paid for by Clear Channel, when real citizens, thinking citizens, decide to adopt a zero tolerance policy toward lies in government, and that means kicking out any and all government people caught in a lie. No excuses, no appeal, no bargaining. Just throw them out of your government buildings and into the streets in the most humiliating manner possible. One strike and you're out, period. Yada, yada, yada. The very first step in getting our nation back is to make government terrified of telling a lie. Now's your chance. The government's caught lying to you to start a war. People you may have known died for that lie. Do you have the courage to do something about it? Well, as a country, I don't think we do any longer. Very pessimistic point of view on my part. I'm sorry. I watch what happened to Clinton and the reasons it happened to Clinton. And I watch the response. Yes, 65% of the American public supported Bill Clinton even when he was going through his acid bath with these scum-sucking Republicans. But look what happened after Clinton. We had an election in this country that, granted, George Bush stole and Al Gore won. But the vote tallies were fairly close, only 2 or 3 percentage points that separated the two of them. What does that say about us, that 48 million people in this country actually voted for George Bush? So maybe the country has to just hit a brick wall a little Cheney music for you in light of comments made by our last caller, Mike from Mountain Park, Georgia. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
With parts made in Japan.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
I've got the secret I've been hiding under my skin. My heart is human. My blood is boiling. My brain, I'm the yam. So if you see me acting strangely, don't be surprised. I'm just
strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A pioneer in the environmental justice movement says the dumping of waste follows patterns of race and class. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Members of minority groups are more likely to live near facilities that handle and store hazardous waste, according to Bernice Miller Travis, an advocate for environmental justice.
People of color in this country and low-income communities bear a disproportionate environmental burden, meaning that most of the country's waste facilities, landfills, radioactive waste containment centers, you name it, are in places where people of color and poor people live.
Miller Travis has been speaking on the subject for years. She helped write a groundbreaking report in 1987 called Toxic Waste and Race in the United States.
We looked at the location of uncontrolled and controlled hazardous waste sites, that is, Superfund sites and sites on the national priorities list. And we used EPA's database from roughly 1984 to 1986, and we found that there was virtually a one-to-one relationship between the presence of residential communities of color and the location of those sites.
Miller Travis says poor and minority communities suffer higher incidences of cancer, asthma, and other environment-related diseases. But she says many people simply don't know that society's waste hurts some communities more than others.
The average person doesn't know anything about it because all we know is that we put our garbage in the garbage can, we put it on the curb, somebody picks it up, and we never see it again. It doesn't evaporate. You know, it goes somewhere, and that somewhere is usually where people of color and poor people live.
That's environmental justice advocate Bernice Miller Travis. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Wolfowitz came right out and said it at Asian Security Summit in Singapore this past weekend. He was asked why the difference in treatment by the United States of Iraq and North Korea, and he said, look, let's look at it simply. The most important difference between North Korea and Iraq is that economically, we just had no choice in Iraq. The country swims on a sea of oil. Now, that comment follows his comment a few days back. I'm sorry, a couple of weeks ago. It was in Vanity Fair, the May issue of Vanity Fair, in which he said that, quote, for reasons that have a lot to do with U.S. government bureaucracy, we settled on the one issue that everyone could agree on, weapons of mass destruction, end quote. It's just, again, it's astonishing that we are in this position. By we, I mean the United States, and probably the citizens of the U.K., too. I mean, the people across the pond, they're as stuck. You know, Blair grabbed hold of this tar baby Bush, and now he can't let go. He can't. He's stuck. But my God, are you aware? Of course you are. I'm sorry, a purely rhetorical question. But are we aware of what this Bush administration has done for the first time in our nation's history? We have attacked a country, first of all, that had not provoked us. Oh, I know. Somebody's going to say, well, what about the Gulf of Tonkin, Mike? What about Panama? What about... Okay. Maybe that's not the way to start out then. We've attacked a country based purely on lies. Yeah, but then somebody will say, what about the Gulf of Tonkin, Mike? What about... Damn, I'm kind of caught, aren't I? Okay, let me try it this way. We sent 200,000 troops, a massive expeditionary force, to overthrow a government. Oh, wait a second. We've done that several times. Oh, man, I guess I'm stuck. I guess maybe perhaps there isn't anything unique about what we've done in Iraq. It was just the public buildup. You know, the lies about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the possible lies about the Japanese, the lies about Noriega, the lies about, I don't know, where else have we committed murder and mayhem? Nicaragua, the other parts of Central America. Those lies were kind of kept quiet. Nobody really challenged what the mass slaughters that we perpetrated in Central America, in Central Africa, in Southeast Asia, But in this instance, this second Iraq attack, we went so far as to go before the United Nations and propose these lies. We provided intelligence, all kinds of cute little diagrams and graphics and kind of garbled audio tapes that the Bush administration insisted were Iraqi government agents talking with al-Qaeda, planning to bring nuclear bombs to downtown Washington, D.C., I guess. I mean, that's the sort of severity that they attach to it. And now it turns out to be all lies. It's all about oil. And everybody has been, you know, everybody on the anti-war side, everyone with a brain has been saying this for months and months and months. It's the oil, stupid. Oh, and weren't members of the Bush crime family just pissed livid when they were accused of preparing to wage war for oil? Weren't they? Do you remember all that? Sure you do. Brian is calling from Portage, Indiana. Brian, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling?
Yes, it is, Mike. How's it going?
It's going fine, sir. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, I just had one thing I wanted to point out on these Iraqi WMD things.
Uh-huh.
And what I wanted to point out is that we've been there for about 2 months now since we took everybody out, right?
I think so. Time just rips by when you're having fun.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So we've been pretty much looking over there for 2 months, and we haven't found anything.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I want to point out is that if Bush and Blair weren't lying, and they actually were right, and there was anything over there,
uh-huh.
We're pretty much in even worse shape, because that means that for 2 months those things have been floating around, and whoever wants them can get their hands on them.
Well, that's that's the other side of this coin. I think we're pretty safe, though, in assuming that whatever weapons programs that the Saddam regime had ended by probably no later than 1994, 1995. Don't forget, the country was decimated by 10 years of war, first with the Iranians and then the attack by the United States.
And then we helped starve the people, too.
Right. It was a country that was just turned from it had a tyrant and a thug as its leader. So did South Korea for 4 decades. But the fact remains that Iraq had a strong middle class. It had a wonderful public education system. It had a public health system. It was a thriving country. It was led by psychopaths, but it was still a thriving country. We are led by psychopaths, but we still could be identified, I guess, potentially, maybe, by somebody on the outside looking in as a thriving country. But what the United States and Great Britain did was utterly bring that country, reduce it from, if not first world status, so-called, certainly some sort of prosperity, down to almost third world level, and then we attacked it. And wouldn't one think that if you had weapons, that biological or chemical weapons, and you were being attacked by an invader, that you would use them?
Well, that's logic suggesting that.
Say it again?
That's logic suggesting that these people don't use that.
Well, no, I'm talking about the Iraqis.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying that our leaders don't
use
that.
Right. Right. Well, I don't know. We are in the middle of the biggest, most criminal scandal I think that this country has ever been involved in. We went to war. We defied the UN. We attacked another country based completely on lies that were carefully constructed to be lies. And here we are. I don't know what's going to happen. Do you?
I'm scared to find out at this point.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, Brian, I hope you call again. Thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
And thanks for finding the program. I don't know how you did it, but thanks. Gordon is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Gordon.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
Good to talk to you again.
Yes, my pleasure.
You know, this Martha Stewart thing going on here, call me a crazy conspiracy theorist, but it just sounds like a Republican hit to me, because you know, the federal attorney,
mm-hmm,
that was responsible for her indictment said it's all about lying. Now,
yeah, right.
Her lie
right.
is about $200,000. Now, to me, $200,000 is a lot of money.
Right.
I'm sure it's not to you.
Oh, it is to the, what, are you crazy?
No, Mike, but you should make a seven-figure income. If you don't, you're crazy.
I'll tell you right now, I've said this on this program, so this is no surprise. I make under $100,000 a year, pal.
Oh, man, you're way underpaid.
I make five figures, just like a lot of working people in this country.
You're way underpaid.
Well, that may be, but that's what we deal with.
So here we're dealing with $200,000 based on what the attorney said was lying to federal authorities.
Right.
What did Ken Lay, who did Ken Lay lie to,
right,
and how much, you know, is that all about? Can you tell me what has happened to Ken Lay, or what you think is going to happen to Ken Lay?
He'll probably get a job with the Carlyle Group. I don't know what's I have no idea. So far, I think 20 Enron executives have been indicted. I don't know if they're working their way up to Ken Lay, or if Ken Lay is just worked out a deal with the Bush Justice Department. I really don't know. But, it, you know, I heard that soundbite today, too, with that prosecutor. I heard on NPR, prosecutor saying it's about lying. If it's about lying, then that prosecutor needs to go ahead and unseal his indictments, get the case going, and then charge the Bush administration with a treason. The Bush administration has been lying. If it is about lying, then let's move on from Martha Stewart. Let's move right up the food chain and get the Bush crime family.
You know, what was I going to say? The reason I said that it sounds like a Republican hit is because Martha Stewart, as you may know, was a big champion and contributor to Democratic causes.
Yeah.
Ken Lay was a champion and contributor to Republican causes and has still not been indicted, as far as I know.
Well, Ken Lay and the Reverend Sun Myung-moon were the two of them are the were the Bush family's two of the Bush family's biggest patrons, along with back in the 40s the German National Socialist Party. Or no, it worked the other way. That's right. Prescott Bush financed the Nazis. I'm sorry, I got confused there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there. I don't know. I don't know. I have paid zero attention to the Martha Stewart story, except when it first came out. When was it? It seems like forever ago. 16, 18 months ago, M-Clone stock was starting to tank, and like a lot of people on her level, she the indictment anyway, or the charge was she got insider information to bail out. She bailed out. Okay, I guess she's going to go to jail for that or pay fines. So, you know, I don't know. But I do know what you just said, that she's been a heavy contributor to the Democratic Party. That may be a good thing or a bad thing. Is it a Republican hit? Well, in light of the fact that it seems like Republicans who commit outrageous crimes or sins don't get punished.
To the tune of 10 times $200,000.
Oh, sure, sure. Or 200 times.
Right.
200,000.
Right.
200,000, sure.
Exactly. So, that's why my blood is just boiling and I don't know. It just makes me so mad. And, of course, the media, they don't tell you anything about what's going on with respect to Ken Lay or his cronies or
no.
Anything like that. There's no investigative reporting in this country.
Well, Ken Lay is a Bush family patron and friend, and media in this country suck up to the Bush crime family because they want Michael Powell to do things like what Michael Powell did yesterday or the day before. So, there's not going to be any outcry about a Ken Lay. He's a Bush. He's protected by the family. But Martha Stewart, oh, yeah. You know, I got up today about 11 o'clock in the morning, flipped on CNN, and all I hear all day, I flipped through the channels just to see, you know, are we at war? Has there been another terrorist attack? Has the Bush crime family blown up another building in Midtown Manhattan and blamed it on somebody? And all I hear is Martha Stewart, going to be indicted, Martha Stewart. I'm thinking to myself, this is news? This is something I need to know? This affects my life? It's been all over today, hasn't it?
Right, yeah, that and Lacey Peterson. You know, Lacey is still dead.
She is. Yes, she is. She's still dead.
Yeah, just thought I'd let you know.
Yeah.
Okay, and now who?
So is Chandra Levy. She's still dead, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Who do I call about your salary? This is ridiculous, Mike.
Hey, listen, that's just the way it goes. I've never made a lot of money in radio. Never. Never. It's not the way it works in radio if you're a liberal or a Democrat or a progressive. You take what you can get and happy to get it. But I think a lot of people think that my income is on a par with right-wingers in this business, and it's one-tenth, one-one-hundredth, one-one-thousandth.
Oh, that's a shame, because it should be on par with them.
But that's all right, because, you know, as long as I make the mortgage payment and, you know, occasionally go to the beach, I couldn't care less.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Gordon.
You bet.
All right, sir. Here I am sitting on this radio program talking about how much money I make. I can't. Kathy's looking at me like, you know, keep your personal business off the street, Mike. I'm sorry if people think that I make six, seven figures. I wish I did. I'd be happy. I'll take a raise. I said the other night, I've been with this company 3 years, renewed my contract twice. Neither time did I get a raise. Not a dime. Nothing. Now, I could have just said, well, screw you and quit. But it was more important to stay here and to me. And have a job, right? Why not? But no, and anybody who works for this network, nobody, let me rephrase it, nobody who works for this network makes that kind of money. Nobody. So let's not talk about my paycheck. That's really kind of boring. David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Hey, yeah, Mike, let's not talk about money. That, you know, I'm always interested in the boycott of money and the boycott of the ancient three estates. So it's a given that we've got to find ways of refusing to use what the corrupt want us to use. So I've been on a tear for 25 years, I'll bet, on boycotting money, clothes, and superstition.
I know. You were just talking about it last night.
Yeah. Hey, but tonight, there's a House bill in the Congress, Congress,
to
so
kill,
everybody all across America.
To kill overtime.
Yeah, to kill overtime, absolutely.
Yeah.
They want to call it, they want to give everybody 40 hours, but they want to slam it all in three
or 4 days. Yeah, we covered this pretty extensively, David, a couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, when it was first proposed, and just went into detail of what these evil bastards want to do, substitute comp time for overtime pay, and the comp time can only be taken, I guess, the way this bill is structured. The worker might have to wait as long as 13, 14 months to get the comp time. Then it's up to the employer to grant it. It's just another smash in the face by Republicans. And,
sure.
Yeah, it's...
So, yeah, it's very important that people, if they get to their computer, they can, they can contact their congressman tonight through email, or they can do their best to, hope that their answering machine is on right now and call them. But I sent something over to your email address.
Yeah.
But people can do, I think it's unionvoice.org, www.unionvoice.org. And you can contact your congressman right away.
I'll post that. I'll put it up. We'll put it up on our Action Alert. David, there's the music. Got a boogie. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call.
Cheney's heart pumping 40 weight.
My heart is fine. Our energy policy has never been compromised.
Where are you now that we need you? Kenstar.
Kenny Boy should invoke his fifth dimension rights.
Bush and Cheney's and on money, buddies. This time they went too far.
What is Enron anyway?
Remember back when they kept whining about Clinton lowered the moral bar. Where are you now that we need you? Kenstar.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steph and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Went bust shortly after the report was put out. Enron went broke, and if they came to this administration looking for help, they didn't find any.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, it's the other way around, you numbnuts freak. You went to them looking for help, and you got it. Is everybody clear on my statements about a Jewish and Christian Zionist working inside the Bush crime family to destabilize not just the Middle East and the United States, setting U.S. foreign policy? I hope so. I haven't gotten any emails to the contrary, but I know every time this topic comes up, somebody of the Jewish faith will misunderstand, I guess, deliberately misunderstand, maybe just in a provocative way misunderstand and say, well, you know, you're being anti-Semitic, you're feeding into American anti-Semitism. I hate that charge because I am not anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish in the least, any more than I'm anti-Catholic. I am kind of anti-Protestant, evangelical, flying monkey right, freaked out right-wing Christian, but that's because they are hypocrites. You know, the Catholic faith preaches the Catholic faith. Jewish faith does the Jewish faith. The Muslims do the Taoists do the... But the Christian evangelicals have so totally prostituted and perverted and smashed the Christian faith into an unrecognizable pile of camel dung that, yeah, I do take great offense with evangelical Christians. But I just hope that it's understood when I talk about the Zionists that are embedded in the Bush crime family. There are Christian Zionists, there are Jewish Zionists. I hope that's not misunderstood by people of the Jewish faith. There's a huge huge difference between people who believe in the safety and security of the state of Israel and people who are Zionists. There's a tremendous difference, and you know, this program is no place to really go into those differences, but I just hope that's coming through, and I hope it's understood. When you take a look at some of the people whose arrogance is so detrimental to U.S. foreign policy, and then realize that they are self-declared Zionists, then, you know, what do you do? Do you ignore that? Do you do like CNN, where if you go to CNN.com, you'll find all sorts of things about Martha Stewart, but not a word about Wolfowitz saying it was all about oil? Huh?
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. U.S. Attorney for Southern New York told a news conference today that the criminal charges against Martha Stewart are a tragedy. James Comey says Stewart is being prosecuted not because of who she is, but because of what she did.
This criminal case is about lying. Lying to the FBI, lying to the SEC, and lying to investors. That is conduct that will not be tolerated by anyone. Martha Stewart is being prosecuted not because of who she is, but because of what she did.
Stewart is facing 9 criminal charges in connection with her sale of M-Clone stock. Comey says the tragedy will be if the case hurts the innocent people who work for and those who own stock in Stewart's company, Martha Stewart Living Omni Media Incorporated. Protesting Jewish settlers have condemned the roadmap to Mideast peace, characterizing the plan as a humiliating surrender to the Palestinians. About 10,000 settlers rallied in Jerusalem for the first of what they said would be a series of demonstrations. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has promised to remove settler outposts as part of the roadmap to peace. Palestinians see the settlers as occupiers. A council of settlers issued a statement saying the just-completed peace summit was a humiliating ceremony in which the Israeli government celebrated its surrender to Palestinian terror. Nearly 24 veterans gathered in Derby, Connecticut yesterday to celebrate the unveiling of the U.S. Postal Service Purple Heart stamp. It features a picture of a Purple Heart, which was created in 1782 by General George Washington to recognize American soldiers for their efforts during the Revolutionary War. The medal is given to members of the United States military who have been wounded or killed in action. Postal Governor John Walsh said one of his first goals he set when he was elected was to get the Purple Heart stamp created.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
Northwest Airlines officials say its board of directors plans to meet in early August to decide on a stock buyback, the issue at the heart of a suit filed against the carrier by its flight attendants union. The union's Molly Riley says Northwest owes flight attendants more than $220 million.
I hope at the end of the day they realize the value that could be reaped from doing the right thing, resolving this, making an agreement to pay, period.
The union claims Northwest reneged on a deal it made in 1993 in which about 7,000 flight attendants agreed to take stock in exchange for wage concessions. The flight attendants say the airline agreed to repurchase those shares after 10 years, but last month Northwest officials indicated they may not complete that buyback. The airline says it hasn't yet reviewed the lawsuit.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A California marijuana advocate has been ordered to spend one day behind bars, a sentence his supporters are hailing as a victory. The San Francisco courtroom erupted in cheers as a federal judge told Ed Rosenthal he had to spend 24 hours in prison and pay a $1,300 fine. Rosenthal, known to supporters as the ganja guru, was convicted of growing marijuana under federal law. However, it is legal under California law as long as the drug is used for medicinal purposes. During his trial, Rosenthal's attorney was not allowed to present evidence that the 58-year-old was cultivating the plant as an officer of Oakland's medicinal program. The judge in the case says he handed down the light sentence due to these highly unusual circumstances. Stocks soared higher today, with the Dow roaring past the 9,000 level. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 116 points to 90.38. The NASDAQ was up 31 to 16.34, and the S&P 500 finished up 14 to 9.86. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk. Yes, Aaron Brown on CNN is interviewing Dennis Kucinich. You want to hear part of this? Let's listen to some of this. They're talking about the lies of the Bush administration.
And any president can make and any member of Congress can vote on. And if this information, if they cook the books on the intelligence, that's... nothing is more grave. This could end up being one of the most serious matters in American history. And that's why, in my capacity as the ranking Democrat on the Oversight Subcommittee with jurisdiction over national defense. I'm proceeding with this resolution of inquiry and asking the questions of the Department of Defense and of the White House whether or not, in fact, they have the information to back up their repeated assertions that they knew there were weapons of mass destruction, that they knew there were nuclear weapons, in fact, that they knew exactly where they were, that there was an immediate threat to this country, and that they had to send the troops at great cost to life and limb and at great cost to the taxpayers of the United States, and, I might add, at great cost to the reputation of the United States. This is a matter of whether or not honesty in government means anything, and it must mean something in a democracy.
Just to pick one small point in all that, and maybe you'll disagree here, but I don't believe the administration ever said that the Iraqis had nuclear weapons. I think what the administration said was that the Iraqi government was trying to reconstitute its nuclear weapons program.
Well, that's right. And what Seymour Hersh did in The New Yorker was kind of knock that into a hat by pointing out that the intelligence story that came out of Niger was fabricated.
Correct. All right. Now, on to the Jessica Lynch case. Basically, what you're saying here is that you have a strong suspicion that the Pentagon hyped this for reasons of its own. Fair enough?
Well, wait a minute, Aaron. What I'm saying is that there's a discrepancy in the stories. I mean, we have a number of reputable news agencies who are suggesting that the Pentagon embellished the story in order to create a circumstance where they would attract more attention to support for the war by raising up this unfortunate prisoner of war who we revere for her service to our country. Jessica Lynch is to be congratulated for being a good American, for serving her country. But wouldn't it be sad if we find out that she was exploited for propaganda purposes? I mean, and that's the suggestion that's been made in these other news reports. And what I'm trying to do is to get it sorted out. It's a very simple way to do it. Let's get the outtakes. Let's get the videotape that was taken. And then we'll answer the question. And if it didn't happen, fine. And if it did happen, then the Pentagon ought to compensate Jessica Lynch and her family for all the turmoil that she's been put through from the beginning of this episode to the present date.
Basically, what we have here is some reporting, a fair amount of reporting at this point, I think it's fair to say, that there were no troops in the hospital, that there was no need to go in there guns blazing. I think someone, I think it might have been the BBC, but someone even suggested that the Americans who went in there were firing blanks. By the way, do you believe that?
Well, you know, I wasn't there. But I know one thing. There's a camera that was there, and there's a tape, and it would be helpful to see the entire tape. And let's set the questions aside then. You know, in a democracy, you need information in order to keep a country together, in order to keep the world.
All right, Dennis Kucinich on CNN, what is it, Aaron Brown's program, what is it, Newsnight, whatever it's called. We thought it was intriguing that there's Kucinich. There's not a right-winger to refute everything he says. There's a Democratic presidential candidate who is requesting a couple of things. First of all, a hearing in front of his committee regarding the events of that led up to this this attack on Iraq, and also the Jessica Lynch thing there came up towards the end. The fact, I call it a fact, Dennis Kucinich would not, and probably very few people on the planet other than me would call it a fact, that that was a staged event. But I'll call it that. So we just thought you might like to hear some Dennis Kucinich for a while. It's very rare that Kucinich is on any sort of network television by himself, going one-to-one with commentators. So it's on CNN. If you want to pick it up right now, it's on CNN with Aaron Brown. You can do that if you like. Like you need my permission, right? Daryl is calling from Detroit, our bureau chief there. Hey, Daryl.
Oh, gee. I'm glad glad things got straightened out there. The feed until you got turned on was really low. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to hear you.
Oh, really? You're having trouble hearing? You couldn't hear the feed from CNN?
Well, no, I couldn't. Not, well, on the Internet, yes, but on the phone?
On the phone you couldn't?
No.
Well, it's our cheesy equipment here, I'm afraid. I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. But can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
We can do another commercial.
Can you hear me now? Okay. All right, Daryl, some news from Detroit. What's going on?
News from Detroit. Okay, we had a great big newspaper headline article today. Yes. guilty verdicts validate terror hunt.
Now, there were I thought there were two convictions and two acquittals.
That was my point.
Oh, that's your point. Was it the Free Press or the...
No, it was the news.
The Detroit News?
It was the news.
And it said, yes. Convictions validate...
Terror hunt.
Terror hunt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Guilty verdicts validate terror hunt. Okay, so you got a 50-50 result. It feels like I'm living in a bizarro world because...
You are. We all are. We all are. You know, I heard today that Ashcroft is going to be in front of some congressional committee, Senate, House, I don't know, in the next couple of days to talk about or explain to the extent that he will how his little war on terror, his domestic war on terror is going, and answer some questions about all these detentions and the total destruction of the American system of law. His office, under his psychopathic control, has brought in this country. I think that's coming up this week. If it is, we'll, of course, have some sound bites. He won't answer, though. He'll just say whatever he wants to.
No, he'll say whatever he wants to, and nobody will actually call him on it.
No, no.
The thing that makes that I've also focused in on is an article. A couple articles put together. We've got a supposedly a productivity increase of 1.9%, which is supposedly a great thing.
Okay, you're talking about the United States.
United States government.
Okay.
Yeah. This is news out of the paper here, but I'm sure this is national news. National unemployment rate, however, has gone back up to 6% in April, and they're expecting it to go up to 6.1% in May.
Uh-huh.
Now, these are the reported people who do not have a job. That is, the people who are still looking for a job.
Right.
And who haven't given up looking for a job, or who are working maybe one or two or three part-time jobs to try to make a full job out
mm-hmm.
of all
mm-hmm.
of this. So it's a phony number in the first place, but they're still cutting the jobs. It's still a jobless recovery.
Right.
And yet at the same time, we have the editorial position in this paper saying that, it would be a horrible thing to have given those tax cuts to those people who were in those lower income
mm-hmm.
brackets.
Right.
Okay? It would have been a horrible thing, and the only choice we had was either spend less or have a higher cap on the amount of tax cuts that we're going to give.
Mm-hmm.
The arguments are even phrased as if, okay, it's A or B, not as if there is a C or D option or maybe an E option, but it's either you do it my way
mm-hmm.
or you pay the consequences.
What I don't understand is that people much smarter than me seem to lack the ability to look back to the 80s, to Reaganomics, to trickle down to what David Stockman, Reagan's budget director until he was fired, what David Stockman referred to as voodoo economics, or was that George Bush?
Up until that night.
He accused Reagan of practicing voodoo economics if he got elected. But Stockman laid out the truth of trickle-down, this whole trickle-down theory. In the first place, the idea of trickle-down is very insulting to people like me. Since I'm down here in probably the middle fifth, if you take the income of this country and divide it into fifths, you know, from the low one-fifth, and then the next one-fifth, then the middle one-fifth, and the upper one-fifth, the top one, I'm probably somewhere in the middle one-fifth, which doesn't mean I have a lot of income. It just means that income in this country has been pushed lower and lower and lower. So I'm probably in that middle one-fifth, and to me, it was an insult, even 20 years ago, to hear these bad word comments, sons of bitches, refer to the shared economic wealth in this country as trickle-down when it got to me. You know, that's like crumbs off Mass's table, and it was infuriating then, it's infuriating now, and that's precisely what they're trying to do. But I don't understand, Daryl, maybe you can tell me why. People who are much smarter than I just don't look back 20 years to say, you know, it didn't work then, it's not going to work now.
You don't have to look back 20 years. I'm looking at a editorial written by George Will titled GOP Gives Up on Running Against Deficit Spending, where he clearly identifies it, and I'll just paraphrase, I'm not even sure to read the whole thing here, but where he clearly identifies that the whole idea is to reduce the amount of income that's going into the government so that you either...
You defund everything.
You defund it.
Sure.
You're defunding the government.
But that's Reaganomics.
And he says specifically that this gives the Democrats a difficulty in running because basically what today's Democratic president's candidates are proposing, as he says, is universal health care, increased spending on school construction.
The dirty, dirty dogs, dirty rotten Democrats.
Medical research, energy research.
Oh, I hate them.
Infrastructure.
Oh, I hate them.
And so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, as if these are bad things.
Well, this is the Federalist Society's idea of reducing the United States from a union to the United Soviet States of America, the USSA, which Al Martin has pointed out before, where states' rights become primary in terms of law or domestic policy, that the what they're trying to do is utterly and absolutely destroy the United States. They're trying to do they're trying to take United out of the term United States.
Well, they're definitely splitting us up into little factions.
Right.
But the
defunding, the point I was trying to make, the defunding of government programs that have worked and worked well for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, you can make the case that those government programs are what holds or cements this disparate society together. And what these thugs want to do is just break us into a million pieces and turn us into the United Soviet States of America. Let me put you on hold, Darrell. I'll come back because I've been talking through your phone call here. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program. with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand. If you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Oh, Jesus. God, he's stupid. Oh, my God, he's stupid. Back to Daryl, our Detroit bureau chief.
Why you do that to me?
Well, if you want jobs, you got to create. And then because of the job thing, the workers got a job.
Oh, my goodness. Really quick. Hey, you know, before I get this lost, you used to have, I like your new website, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks to Mark Marshall.
You used to have some documents, some links to some posters.
Uh-huh.
You still have those around?
To posters?
Well, there were documents that you could download. There were PDF files you could print out.
Oh, we haven't. See, the site is still under construction.
Okay.
We are going to move those over to the new site. I know what you're talking about. The one was what has the GOP ever done for workers?
Mm-hmm.
There was a thing that Will Pitt and Matt Condon, our bureau chief in Boston, that they put together,
right.
Made a flyer there. Yeah, we're going to eventually those will be moved over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I was looking. I said, no, maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I'm looking.
Nope, just hasn't been moved.
It's not there yet. Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, it would be nice because I'm still running into people who said, well, you know, I voted for Bush, and yeah, things aren't going right, but I really want to give him a chance.
Yeah, give him a chance.
And, you know, they drive me nuts, so all I can do is give him a web address, and I really would like to point him out
okay.
to something like that. You talked a little bit about Kucinich a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
Kucinich was being pilloried by Hannity. Combs wasn't there yet. I guess Combs got married or something like that. He's on his honeymoon. And there was somebody sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was Hannity and somebody else, whoever it is.
I guess
that's the Hannity is. There's a reason why Hannity's name is first in show.
Sure.
So he brings on a right wing talk show host, okay, and a congressman. And the congressman is trying to talk about why we need to investigate further, and Hannity is basically trying to challenge the fact that it was Kucinich. Who is this ultra whacked out left wing liberal stuff? And I mean, the entire tactic is the same tactic they run over and over and over.
I don't know how you do that, Daryl. I don't know how you can watch Hannity and not, I'm serious. I've known Sean Hannity for probably 10 years. I thoroughly dislike him. He disgusts me. It just so happens that my daughter and his wife. are fairly good friends. That friendship now is got 1,800 miles separating it because my daughter's in Florida and Hannity lives in Long Island. But Jill Hannity and my daughter Wendy worked together for the same weekly newspaper here in Atlanta, and they got along fine. But Sean himself, to me, is a contemptible, disgusting little rat bastard that I wouldn't, if he were drowning in his own spit, I think I would just step over him and keep going. I really don't like him, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, I get that same. There are a lot of people that I might disagree with,
right.
But it's not, I don't not like them. It's just I don't agree with them.
Well,
this is one of the people
that you don't
that
like.
That I do not like.
Well, I don't know how you can watch his program.
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing.
I don't know how you can watch it, but is it? Hey, Daryl, I got to move.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you checking in. That sounds very un. I know. My Zen listeners and my spiritually elevated listeners, and I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean it. There are a lot of people who are much more spiritually elevated than I. Oh, my God. As far as that goes, practically everybody. I had somebody tell me one time, Malloy, you're just a very young soul. You've got so much to learn. You're going to have to go through 8 or 9 or 10,000 times. Of course, I don't believe that. But I mean the going through 8 or 9 or 10,000. Oh, never mind. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around me. Starched white shirt, you will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around with.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Members of the Graphics Communications International Union and Unite came together for a joint rally outside a convention at the Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco yesterday. Inside, the world's largest commercial printer, Quebecor World, was presenting an award to Cintas, a Cincinnati-based laundry and uniform company.
Quebecor says that everybody in America touches a Quebecor product once a day. We think it's time that everybody in America hears how Quebecor is treating workers.
Jennifer Love of the AFL-CIO says that Quebecor World often refuses to bargain with its unions.
This is a great moment when one anti-union company is rewarding another. Quebecor World is sponsoring a luncheon at the annual catalog conference, which is honoring catalogs, one of which is produced by Cintas Corporation.
With its 17,000 production workers at more than 300 plants, Cintas is the largest provider of uniform rentals in the nation. And according to Leah Rothstein of United in Northern California, it's also among the most anti-worker.
They spend tons of money fighting unions. They hire consultants. They intimidate. They fire. They threaten their workers to stop them from unionizing.
Both unions say they'll keep up the pressure until both companies change their ways.
British resistance to a proposed European Union Charter of Labor Rights is gaining strength. The Confederation of British Industry, one of the country's largest business lobbies, says a provision in the charter requires that all temporary workers be afforded the same pay and benefits after 6 weeks on a job. Speaking for its members, who employ more than 6 million British workers, the CBI says such a right would lead to hiring freezes and job cuts, as it would take the value out of short-term employment. Last week, the British government announced it would block the implementation of an EU Bill of Labor Rights if the rights of workers to organize and strike were not deleted from the charter.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
yeah.
Stop.
A few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just what I think. You couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Killing farmers, blowing up schools.
You're now entering a flying monkey free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
I just gotta wonder what my daddy was done.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Peggy is calling from near Santa Fe. Peggy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Mike, just please warn callers against jokes of shooting any public figure.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. I figure when people say that, they are being ironic or sarcastic or whatever.
I know they're being ironic and sarcastic. But keep in mind, Bush Sr. was head of CIA. Grandpa Prescott Bush helped Hitler build the death camps. And if you must shoot someone, dear lady, shoot that pig, Mike Savage, will you?
Now, wait a minute. You come on the program advocating that our callers not advocate shooting people, and you do it by advocating shooting people.
Well, I was only advocating that she shoot him. I don't have to.
I know. You're just being ironic and sarcastic. I understand. I understand, Peggy. I do.
I listen to your show. You're precious. Take care of yourself. We need you.
Okay, and we need you too. Be careful, and just keep your powder dry. You know how to shoot a gun, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Good, good girl.
Absolutely. I only have a little Browning automatic, though.
You got to get a rifle. Well, whatever.
Oh, too clumsy, and I'm old. I'm too old to pick one up.
Okay, well, as long.
But I wanted to relay to you what I think is the joke of the century.
Okay.
Ronald Reagan conquered the island of Grenada.
He did indeed.
Yes.
He did indeed.
What a guy.
What a guy. Thanks, Peggy.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Dave is calling from Skokie, Illinois. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, hi. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I had two things to ask you. Before I get to the topic, you know, when you were on WILS, you had that beautiful music. Is there a way of finding out what it was?
Which one? No, I was there for almost 4 years.
That was the one that introduced you, you know. Didn't you have one specific type of music?
I'm trying to think. I'll tell you what. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'll talk with Kathy. I did a lot of U2 music. I did a lot of Pink Floyd, and also a lot of music from Cirque du Soleil. So I'll try to find out.
But anyway, what I wanted to talk to you has to do with global warming. I don't know. On the news, no one seems to be speaking about the terrible heat wave in India. I got it off the BBC News. And I think this is very important because that's to do with global warming, and maybe our media doesn't want to cover it because it has to do with cutting down trees and increasing carbon dioxide due to burning of oil, you know, fossil-based fuels.
So what? We're having a lot of people dying from the heat? I hadn't heard this story either, Dave.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at it right now in the BBC News on the Internet.
Uh-huh.
As of June 4th, Wednesday, 2003, which I think is today.
Yes, it is.
It says here, let me read you just one sentence. It says, in one town, Kadagudam, I think that's how you pronounce it, scientists recorded a temperature of more than 52 degrees Celsius, which translates into 125 point something degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, my God.
And according to this is about 3 or 4 days, this heat wave. And I haven't heard a word about it on the regular news.
I haven't
either.
The
papers. And I don't know if they're covering it up or what, but I think something of this magnitude should be reported.
Well, sometimes late at night, we watch CNNI, which is CNN International, and they cover foreign news from a perspective of the countries that are affected. It's for foreign consumption. Americans can tune in if they want to. Yeah. We'll check it out tonight. I'm sure there'll be something there. CNNI. Most cable companies do not carry it. We get it because we have a dish satellite service, and it's usually on the same channel as CNN-FN, the Financial News Network, and they carry international news. So we'll check it out. I hadn't heard about it.
It says here, too, more than 1,000 people have died in Andhra Pradesh in the three-week heat wave. Hundreds more have been hospitalized, stretching resources to the limit.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, so something of this magnitude. You know, it's
well, global warming is just something that the liberals and the progressives have made up. It really doesn't exist. You know that.
Yeah. And they're cutting down the trees and all this, you know, which of course helped the situation. Because there's a drought, too, because there's no water. You know, a lot of the water we get comes from the trees themselves.
Yeah.
Through transpiration.
I hear that. Yeah. Well, Dave, good to hear from you, sir. I'll ask Kathy, and maybe she'll be able to come up with what music we used to use in Chicago. Yeah. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. It's time for the voice of God. Here he is, Mark.
Good evening, sir.
You're right. This is our webmaster, Mark, who is also our upstate New York bureau chief. Hey, Mark.
How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
Good. I called because I've been listening to your angst all night. And
not really angst. Listen, I'm beyond angst. It's acceptance now.
No, I understand. But
I've gone into...
Not completely, because you're still asking the question.
Right, but I've gone to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's final stage of acceptance. You know, you got denial, you got... what else you got, Kathy? Anger, you got bargaining. There's four, five, six, seven, I don't know, stages of on death and dying. And I figure this republic is dying. We are in our death throes as a country that has representative government, so I'm almost into the acceptance stage at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say... You,
that is angst.
It is. Of course it's angst. I mean, because you, otherwise you wouldn't be doing this.
That's true.
But you know, you and I have talked about the I have a very strong feeling about the fact that if people choose to live by what's out there for mainstream media, live by the mainstream media, die by the mainstream media.
Sure.
It's like that scene in The Matrix where they're talking about the people who are walking down the street who are unaware.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as people choose to be that way, they're walking into this. I mean, people are still turning on CNN and accepting it as fact.
Well, you probably know this since you're the webmaster, but the top story I published posted last night was Robert Perry's 14-page long rant or screed or article or commentary on The American Matrix.
Yep.
And if anyone who is listening to the program did not read that, it's on the what do we call it now? Recent program topics,
right on the front page.
And it's right on the front page, and it's the top of the list from last night, and it's Robert Perry's lengthy but absolute must read about the American Matrix. We're in it. We really are in it. And hell, I took the blue pill, so I don't. You know, maybe that's the problem, huh?
I don't know. One other thing along the same lines, somebody posted a link in the message board under media alerts for, I don't know if you got a chance to see, did you see the 3-hour Noam Chomsky on Book TV?
I know it was this past weekend, right?
Right. Well, it's up on the web.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we posted a link in there. Somebody actually posted that it was there, and I went and got the link and pasted it in there. It's in the media alerts section. It's wonderful.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Okay.
It's eye-opening in a bunch of different ways. First of all, because most of the dialogue between he and is mostly him taking telephone calls, was actually civil.
Yeah, I watched maybe 45 minutes of it. I think it was on Sunday, or was it Saturday?
Right, I think it was Sunday, too.
Yeah. The guy who handled the questions, I thought, was it was appropriate questioner. It's the same guy who does the morning thing on C-SPAN.
Yeah, he was the one who did Greg Palast.
Right, the reason I like is not the right word, but the reason I appreciate this interviewer is he asks a question and then he shuts up. And he doesn't try to, at least the part I saw, he doesn't try to get into a debate. He doesn't challenge. He just asks the question that maybe I would have asked if I were there. And then he let Chomsky just go ahead and answer it.
Yeah, and they're not particularly leading or slanted questions, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly.
One other thing from the did you see the Michael Moore on C-SPAN?
Yes, I did. I did see that.
That was the point that I loved that he made. That I thought you were talking about this earlier tonight, and I thought it was pretty accurate. You were talking earlier about the WMDs and the fact that nothing has come up till now.
Mm-hmm.
And the point that he made about the fact that, you know, it's obvious how much they think of us because they're not even bothering to try to lie to us.
Right,
by hiding something there.
Yeah, it's no longer, none of it's necessary. These people were waiting, these people being the Bush cabal, they were waiting to get control of what they've gotten control of. The White House, the House, the Senate, the federal judiciary, up to and including the Supreme Court, and the media. So why should they bother spinning? They know that the American people are not going to take up arms in a bloody revolution. They understand that. And if the American people ever decided to do that, it would literally be a bloodbath because they control the power. Now, would American soldiers fire on American civilians? Well, the same question was put to the Chinese at Tiananmen Square, and the answer came back a resounding yes. And it was even more, arguably, more of a stretch to imagine the People's Liberation Army firing on the proletariat. But that's exactly what happened at Tiananmen Square. So I think the Bush crime family understands that the American people will never take up arms and go into open revolution. So they, without that as a restraining factor, they can, not only can they do whatever they want, the Bush crime family, for as long as they're in power, but they can also send out some scum, filthy human being like Wolfowitz to brag about it. And nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens.
Well, because their legitimacy. This is one of the great things about the Chomsky interview.
You know, I've had several people tell me tonight that in none of the newscasts, on none of the network websites, do you find anything about Wolfowitz's statement. But
of
there's
course
all,
not.
But there's all kinds of stuff about Martha Stewart.
Of course not. Yeah, because they're toeing the line. And that's one of the things that Chomsky is so good at when you get to hear a bunch of them, is he talks about the history. We're talking about three generations now of a country that has been propagandized to the point where they stand there with their mouth open and wait for somebody to feed it to them.
That's right.
You know?
And
exactly. So it's that much tougher for the rest of us who don't do that, who look and go, you know, you want to walk up and slap somebody in the forehead and say hello.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not going to till they choose to. That's one of the reasons I welcome this thing that just happened with the FCC.
Yeah.
Because it was just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think.
And the sooner all the restaurants get to be Taco Bell, people will stop eating there. You know what I mean?
Well, I hope that theory works. But that was the Naderite theory about allowing a Bush to be elected, quote, was in retrospect, a lot of Greens said, look, it has to get exceedingly worse before it can ever get better. So it's a good thing that George Bush and the crime family got elected. The idea that all the restaurants need to be Taco Bells and there has to be one newspaper and one television network in the United States. I don't know. I don't know if we could recover from that, though, Mark.
Well, I don't know if we can recover from where we are now, but it's got to go somewhere. Just with the voting apathy where we are now,
yeah.
Unless something happens to really open people's eyes, maybe what's happening now, maybe people will get incensed enough that something will change. But if this doesn't do it,
what will?
Yeah, exactly. We're living in Taco Bell, pal.
Do you know what would excite the Congress to do something if somebody could catch George Bush with a dead girl or a live boy in a compromising situation, then maybe the American people would be motivated to do something. Right?
I'm hesitant to agree with you.
A dead girl or a live boy?
I'm still hesitant to disagree.
Hello, Mark. Anybody there?
Yeah, but you understand.
Yes, I do understand.
It's not Bill.
But no. But the shock. I mean, after all, Bill. You know, Bill was a Southern Baptist, Bible pounding, hellfire and brimstone, Southern Christian, which means that he'd raise hell Monday through Saturday and Sunday, go in and have church. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's what is done in the South. That's how we do it down here. We can drink, we can whore around, we can do whatever we want to, but on Sunday morning, be in church, be in your pew, sing the hymns, and Jesus will look down and forgive you. That was Bill Clinton. George W. Bush is a proto-Nazi Christian identity thug. So if they caught him with a live boy or a dead girl, they, being the crazy Christians in this country, they would lynch him themselves. There wouldn't need to be an impeachment hearing.
At this point, I'm so jaded, I would have to see it.
I'd love to see it.
Because knowing how good Karl Rove is, they would figure a way out of it.
They'd figure out. That's very true. Mark, thanks for checking in.
Hey, good work, sir. I'll talk to you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. No, that's true. I mean, come on. Here in the South. I'm only talking about Protestant Christians. I don't know about Catholics and Jews and Hindus and Muslims. I'm talking about Protestant Christians and, for the most part, white, but not completely. You know, black Protestant Christians, white Protestant Christians. The idea here in the South is that you can do whatever you want during the week. As long as you go to Wednesday, well, it's not even required anymore to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. But you need to be in church on Sunday. Twice. You know, not just Sunday school. You got to stick around for the sermon. And then if you really have screwed up during the week, come back for Sunday night service. And then you're okay. Then you're all right. That's just the way it goes in the South. Jeff is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to get your opinion on the Martha Stewart thing with relation to the Enron. Yes.
Well, I'm sure you and I would agree that there is no comparison. This came up a little bit earlier in the program. You know, Martha Stewart's, if she is guilty as charged, what did she do? Save herself $47,000. I know it's been reported as $200,000, but I don't think that's the case.
Also paid money for the stock to begin with.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it wasn't all profit.
You know, so if Martha Stewart broke the financial or the stock or the insider trading laws, okay, well, whatever the law says, but when you compare that to Enron or WorldCom or oh my God, the list just goes on and on and on. It's a joke. It's a laugh.
Well, and what Martha did didn't hurt me. It hurt the guy who bought the stock, and he was going to buy it anyway.
Right.
And buying stocks is gambling, whereas I lived in California when the energy crisis was happening, and I paid too much for electricity, and I turned my air conditioner off when I didn't really need it. And they stole from so many people.
Oh, sure.
And, well, what's happening?
But those are Republicans.
I know, but do you think that I mean, really, like, you know, I listen to a lot of the liberal talk shows, and there are a lot of points that you guys bring up that I think are really good points, but sometimes I feel like, hey, maybe you're a little bit overboard on this, or maybe a little bit overboard on that. But is this really George Bush and Cheney exercising their influence by not allowing the Enron people to go to jail?
Stewart
might go to jail.
Your guess is as good as mine. My gut feeling is, of course,
scary.
Well, the Republicans, especially on the national level, where they hold national political power, national political office, they are as corrupt as any regime in any country in the history of this planet, as far as I'm concerned. We just happen to be saddled with them here in 2003, but they are corrupt. And the people who support them, people who vote Republican, are also corrupt.
Can I bring up another point?
Well, let me put you on hold, and we got a break here, Jeff. I'll come back in for a few seconds when we come back, because we're flat running out of time. Just hold on. I'll come back to you in a second.
In the corporate world, sometimes things aren't exactly black and white when it comes to accounting procedures.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
There was no malfeasance, no attempt to hide anything. It was just a accounting firm making a decision as to how to account for a complex transaction.
Yeah, that's all it was. There's no Enron problem. There's no Arthur Anderson problem.
It's that damn Martha Stewart!
One of our regular correspondents, PC, just emailed into me. The guy who on C-SPAN who interviewed Noam Chomsky is one of the, God, I should have known this, but I didn't, one of the founders of C-SPAN, Brian Lamb. Thanks, PC. Appreciate it. Back to Jeff in Santa Fe. Jeff, go ahead. Wrap it up for me.
My other point was about the Clear Channel
radio
stations. We have one in Santa Fe that's called Radio Free Santa Fe, and it's a Clear Channel station, but the programming hasn't changed from when it wasn't a Clear Channel station. And I think that a lot of this Clear Channel stuff is really laziness on the part of the radio owners who don't want to have their own programming, because in Santa Fe, I always thought that Clear Channel dictated, you have to do this, you must do this, you have to do this. In Santa Fe, they do whatever they want. They have astrology, they have this thing every day at 4:20 where they play a pot-smoking song. They bring in local artists, and I thought that was against the rules at Clear Channel, but apparently it isn't. So I'm saying that maybe it's just laziness and people wanting to make money, not Clear Channel
Well, Clear Channel does decide the programming that goes on the stations that they own. Now, if Clear Channel does, in fact, own the station that you're talking about in Santa Fe, they may have decided that since the station had good ratings, they would just leave it alone, although that's not been the case in a lot of markets. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I can tell you this, that any station that Clear Channel owns, they have managers who run those stations, and those managers are robots. They do exactly and precisely what they are told by the home office. To do otherwise would mean you lose your job. So I don't know about the situation with Radio. What do you call it?
Radio Free Santa Fe.
Radio
like
Free
said,
Santa Fe.
It's just a weird station that seems to do whatever they want. But thanks a lot for your time.
Okay, appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for checking in. Transfer? This is Transfer from Stanford. What the hell kind of a name is that?
It's a name.
All right, Transfer, let her rip.
I've been calling.
Yeah?
How do we get a rise out of the people?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, Transfer, we're out of time. But, hey, call back tomorrow because that's an interesting question, and we'll talk about it, Transfer. Thanks for checking in, pal. Sorry we ran out of time on you. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Many thanks to Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive for the website, MikeMalloy.com. And thanks again to our Music Bureau Chief, Jim in Arkansas, for the great tunes. Y'all have a nice evening. I'll see you tomorrow. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you